got lost in his nectar.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Why? That is the worst visual ever.
See, it's like grasping for life.
It's your big got caught in his neck. Sweaty neck.
Ew. What?
Sweaty Help neck hole.
Would you rather get caught in Mike Zagurski's neck girth or Java's neck girth?
Oh, sweet Jesus, why?
So, welcome to the Pinstripe Valley Podcast, the podcast where now all four co-hosts, or hosts, are loved by David Cohn, on Twitter at least. Congratulations, Andrew and Jason.
Yay.
Congratulations to me, because he loved me.
Yeah, sure he did.
No, he responded to me.
Greg, did you beg for Ken to follow you on Twitter?
No, he didn't. I didn't get the pity follow.
Me either.
Oh, shots fired. That's right, we're starting beef on the podcast early today. But anyway, I'm Greg Kirkland, I'm giving you a raise. With me are my fabulously cone-loved podcasters, Andrew, Jason, and Tanya.
Hello.
Oh, hello?
Hello.
Hi, there you go. So, let's get right to the bad news first and just get it out of the way. Derek Jeter's done for the year.
Well,
I feel like that was a long time coming.
Saw that coming months ago.
Yeah, Jason did kind of call them bringing Jeter back early, so congratulations.
Called it.
Yay.
Called it
spring training. Called it.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, but inevitable, seemed like. He just never looked good.
Yeah.
No.
But, I mean, I think that we kind of all knew that that was going to happen after his ankle was so mangled that it had to be put back together with all kinds of metal and... He's not 20 years old.
He's not.
Seems like a logical progression.
We're really optimistic about a guy who is almost 40, rehabbing from an ankle injury. Smooth.
Playing a difficult defensive position.
Yeah, not first base or anything like that.
Well, you know what? It wasn't even optimistic. It was like, you know, it's Derek Jeter, so he's going to be good to go no matter what, even though it didn't make any sense for them to rush him because... You know, what's the worst that happens? Like, he misses a month and then he's healthy to go? Like, I don't know why they pushed him so hard in spring that he broke it again. And no one wants to say, oh, they worked him too hard or something. But now they're coming out and Cashman said, like, you know, we didn't realize he'd need this extensive amount of, like, whatever. And it's just like, what were you doing? Were you even looking at the x-rays and the MRI? Even, like, listening to any of the doctors that were saying, hey, take it easy on this guy. And I know, like, Derek Jeter wanted to play, because of course he wants to play, but, like, they gotta say, hey, Derek Jeter, shut up, sit down, and wait for your ankle to get healthy. Because playing hurts. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. Sit on the friggin' bench and wait until you're healthy. Now he's ruined his entire season.
You know, you're pretty strong about this.
I am. I'm very strong about this.
This is coming from formerly named Jeter number 2.
Yeah.
I mean, he summed it up pretty well there. I mean, obviously Jeter pushed himself to come back, but the Yankees were fully supportive of that and didn't really seem to take it easy.
The hilarious thing that they said was that they put him on the DL, so they weren't tempted to bring him back. Like, what was that? What is that? It's like... Oh, we got, you know, he's done for the year, so, like, let's sit him down. But, like, what, in a week, they're going to be like, but wait, maybe he's better. Like, what are you, like a child?
Maybe they were thinking, like they would see Eduardo Nunez or Brendan Ryan hit enough, and they'd be like, activate Jeter.
Quickly.
Sounds like you're calling for, like, a robot or something. Activate Jeter.
Activate him.
Well, the thing is that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know where I stand on it all. But this has just not been a banner year for the medical staff. And, like...
That's an understatement.
I mean, I don't know how much of it is them and how much of it is just, like, freak Murphy's Law type stuff. Like, I don't know, but, like...
With old players, too.
Well, okay, yeah, sure, it's old players, but, like...
Not all of them, yeah.
Old players get hurt and then they sit out, but they don't... just, like, come back and, like, get re-hurt immediately. And, I mean, there were so many, like, setbacks and setbacks and setbacks and setbacks. And it's just, like, that kind of makes me think that they shouldn't have been
playing
to have a setback. And maybe if they'd been held out longer, that, you know, they wouldn't have had a setback when they actually started playing again. It's just, I don't know. Like, I'm hesitant to blame them, but I feel like you can't completely absolve them for what has happened this year, because it's just been such a shit show from, like, the beginning until now. I don't know.
Yeah, going back to the Teixeira injury. I mean, they tried to see if they could get him back in, and it looked like they were kind of being overly optimistic with that too, and then he just ended up hurting himself anyway. So,
well, it was always, you know, we have to be careful with this. We have to be careful with this. We have to be careful with this. He gets like a few at bats in double, and they're like, bring him on. It's like,
yeah,
that's not exactly being careful with it.
Exactly. And like with Kevin Youkilis, they activate him. So he was hurt. He plays one game, and then he has to go on the disabled list, and it's like they lose all that time. It's like,
and with Youkilis, it was something like super serious. It was like, did he really do that in one game? Like, or was it there before and you just didn't notice?
He had like a sprained spine or something like that. Like, how do you sprain your spine?
Be Kevin Youkilis and be made of glass.
Like, I mean, what was the medical staff looking at? They decided, you know, oh, this can't be that serious. And then Brian Cashman comes out and it's like, well, we all screwed up. And it's like, how does that happen? How does no one say, well, let's look at the x-rays. What do they say? How does he feel? Like, nah, let's just play him. It's just ridiculous. I don't know. Maybe Travis Hafner was hurt, playing hurt. You know, he had that shoulder thing, and then all of a sudden he just fell off a cliff. There were all these players that, like, had setbacks and had problems, and it just didn't seem like they knew what they were doing.
Yep, frustrated.
This has been, like, Metzian level.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of is.
I mean, they were down to, like, guys. The left side of their infield is, like, Reed Brignac and Chris Nelson. It's just like, why would that ever have to happen? All the ugly shortstops and third basemen that have played for the Yankees this year, it's just going to be, people are going to look back and be like, that's horrifying. How the hell did they even come close to the playoffs?
Which, again, shows, one, how injury-ravaged team, you know, how injury-ravaged this team really was, and two, just how lucky to be the way they are right now. Like, they're only now one game out of the second wild card spot, and the Rangers are falling, too. I mean, they're now, they're on the same, almost the same path as the Rays.
I hope they continue.
Me too.
They're playing against the A's this weekend, so go Oakland.
That series is going to be huge.
Team Moneyball.
Yeah, I've got nothing against the A's, really.
Nope.
I don't really care for the A's. I mean, I don't hate them right now. I just don't really care for them. But I want them to run away with it so that Texas keeps, like, collapsing. So
yes, please.
Whatever. Go Oakland.
Are we done discussing Jeter?
I think so. Well, we can talk about or Brendan Ryan, too, a little bit.
Yeah, let's say the acquisition of Brendan Ryan.
I like that move. I mean, there's not much they could really do because Nunez is pretty awful. So, I mean, at least we got a taste of Brendan Ryan's defense tonight when he, like, ran over to second base and threw the runner out.
That was incredible.
I was like, what? I haven't seen defense from that, like, ever.
That's some insane range.
You know, I'm actually surprised that the Yankees didn't trade for him sooner, because now, you know, now he's not eligible for the playoffs, and, like, you know, maybe that's not that big deal, but it would be a nice thing to have just in case. But, like, he would have been useful before when, you know, Jeter was hurt and all the other times we had to rely on Eduardo Nunez.
Or when Nunez was hurt himself.
Or when Nunez was hurt himself.
Just to be clear, according to Pinstripe Alley writer Jason Cohen, Eduardo Nunez is the worst player in existence.
No, I said he's the worst fielder.
In existence?
In existence. In the world.
Yes.
And that is a personal attack against him.
Never discuss the good.
Just
like the
don't
fact
like
that he entertains
the
guy. Us with
so
his...
I'm just going to talk about how I hate him so much.
Scathing article. Scathing. But yeah, I agree. If your plan was to rely on Nunez, then, I mean, Brendan Ryan doesn't even hurt as a defensive backup if you're using him for that. But, I mean, with how bad Nunez has been fielding, as the game on, what was it, Tuesday, pretty much demonstrated. I mean, it's funny that they signed Brendan Ryan after that game. It was almost like a sign where, you know what, Jason Cohen's right. We can't put up with this anymore.
I guess it's possible that the Mariners exactly. were being pains in the ass and didn't really want to get rid of Ryan yet. But I kind of feel like, at least by August, I mean, I think Brendan Ryan was benched by then, so they could probably have tried to get him and not had to pay too much to get him, but oh well.
Well, the thing you gotta remember is that the Mariners are stupid.
It's true, they might have thought like they were Eduardo still in contention. Nunez. They did trade, like, Michael Morse on, like, the last day of August, so maybe they could have traded Ryan, too. I don't know.
Yeah, that one player you were talking about was incredible. And he was practically in front of Cano.
Yeah, was.
Although he did miss that one ground ball, but oh, I forgive him for that. That's a tough play.
Yep.
I mean, he was sliding at that part, and he was counting on the ball to take a different hop. I can excuse that.
Yeah.
The real thing is that he's hitting eighth, as in he's not hitting ninth because Chris Stewart's hitting ninth.
The fact that he's hitting in front of Stewart is so funny.
Go home, Stewart.
Just retire. Just retire.
Just you start know. Murphy, for Christ's sake.
No.
He
doesn't know the pitcher.
What was
can't
I thinking?
Do that.
Andy Pettit
not
looked
even
at
a Romine can.
And he's like, what are you?
Said, not even a Romine concussion can get Stewart out of. Stewart even defied 2013 and didn't get injured.
Yeah, oh my God.
He like,
he's
probably dehydrated right now.
I thought he hurt his foot, and I thought he was going
to
be like...
He was supposed to, and then he like healed like Wolverine and was like, I'm fine.
Oh my God.
Whoa, nice reference there.
I was about to say, Waffles throwing out the X-Men reference.
Look at that.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
But nice. Seriously, I was like, wait, why is Stewart in the lineup? Isn't he injured?
Yeah, don't worry. He's healthy now. We got to get him in there. Like, he's going to, you know, get us all those wins.
So just to be clear, the 2000 injury bug has claimed Derek Jeter, Mark Teixeira, Curtis Granderson for half the year, Alex Rodriguez for half the year, but leaves Chris Stewart alone.
Yeah, it's cool.
Other than the dehydration. That happened.
You know what, 2013 injury bug? Fuck you.
It's just like, why? Of all the, like... Why?
And this is not us calling for Chris Stewart to be injured, mind you.
No.
It's just...
It's calling for me to wish that Stewart was injured over someone else.
Yeah. Which sounds terrible when you say it, but it's really not.
It's for the team, man. It's for the team.
There you go.
I wish
because,
it was you instead of him.
Because we clearly cannot save the binder from itself. So the only way to get Stewart out of the lineup is for him to take one for the team.
In the
rib.
Well, it's like when he started a rally the other day by getting hit by a pitch. It's like, yeah, best case.
And then he got hurt trying to get away from the pitch.
Again, best case.
Pulled the ligament in his foot? Like, what?
That magically healed in a day.
Magically healed overnight.
How does that happen?
Like, oh, gotta get him in there. Gotta get him in. Play him hurt.
Stewie's a tough
cookie.
You know
what? I'm calling it. Chris Stewart's on steroids. It's the only explanation.
HGH.
But it's not enhancing his performance.
Well, HGH doesn't enhance
it. It's probably keeping him alive at this point. I mean,
it's
he's in like
keeping
unknown...
his like bones together.
Exactly. He's in unknown territory. Like, this is the most games he's played in the season, and he's already wearing down. If he's got all that HGH pumping through him, it's like keeping him on life support.
Well, clearly he can't drink water.
Exactly. He can't drink water. He can't, like, you know, get out of the way of a pitch because it breaks his foot or something. And he can't hit because he's crap. So, you know, he's just, like, huffing and puffing. And it's like, oh, if only that HGH. Otherwise, I would have been, like, you know, dead. Would never make it this far.
Well, if he's on any kind of steroids, he desperately needs a refund. Because, oof.
Oof.
Well, anyway.
All right. Yeah, on to happier news. The Yankees won today.
Yay.
Ooh.
Yeah, home runs. Too many damn home runs.
They can win the wrong way all the live long day.
I see Grandy go out to, like, Utah.
That shot by Granderson was...
That was ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. They had just been talking about, like, balls hit into onto Utah Street. And then Granderson's like, yep.
Added one.
There's your Utah Street.
Well, hopefully they refined the offense they had over the weekend today.
They're going to need it.
They're going to need it because Phil Hughes pitching in Camden Yards is stuff of nightmares.
Bold strategy, Cotton.
Let's see if it pays off.
I mean, it really is just the ultimate lose-lose situation because, I mean, we tried starting David Hoff, and the Yankees had to try because, again, that's how terrible Phil Hughes has been. And Hoff was, you know, awful. His name was David Hoff, you know. Again, anyone who had their expectations high for him is insane. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, outside of starting, what, Brett Marshall or Adam Warren, what choice do we have, really?
Brett Marshall.
I'm not opposed to trying Brett Marshall either. I mean...
I just hope that Girardi has a really quick hook today.
I feel like he probably will.
Yeah, I hope he has a very quick hook on every time Phil Hughes pitches for the rest of the season.
I mean, if they were comfortable hooking him from the rotation entirely, I kind of feel like it would probably be quick to hook him if he's in trouble, but I guess we won't know until tonight.
Yeah, but how would that work? Because, like, you know, if he pulls him out of the third inning, chances are we're already losing by a lot.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I mean,
well, that's kind of the point of a quick hook.
Well,
not just in innings,
but
we're down 5-0.
No, it's going to happen because, you know, if he gives up 2 runs in the third inning, it's like, oh, well, it's only 2 runs. I'll just leave him in there more until Chris Davis has a 5-run home run off of him. And then, you know, like, there's never going to be a point where it's going to be like, well, it looks like he's losing it. Let me take him out.
Well, if he's like,
that's not how Girardi operates.
If he's like laboring through a few innings, I think he would take him out.
Maybe.
Like, laboring and giving up, like, a run here, a run there. Then he might, but I don't know. Maybe not. Hughes or bust.
That's so sad. Ugh.
At least, the bullpen will have some arms there. I mean, Kelly pitched tonight, so did Robertson. They're both coming off injuries, but...
You know, we were talking about Chris Stewart defying 2013. David Robertson did, too. Good for him.
Ben Logan did not, as he's probably going for Tommy John surgery.
No, he's probably done.
Yeah,
that's probably a
poorly timed Tommy John surgery for him, since he's about to be a free agent. But...
Yep. So,
wait, Logan? I thought you were talking about... We're concerned about the team, not Boone Logan's free agency. Screw that.
Yeah, I don't give a shit about him.
He's taking the Ryan Madsen path.
I mean, I'm kind of disturbed for the rest of this year because as frustrating as Boone Logan can be, I still trust him more than Mike Zagurski and Cesar Cabral.
I don't know. Cesar Cabral's been pretty awesome.
Yeah,
yeah.
Against lefties specifically.
The limited amount of time he's allowed to see the light of day. Like, it just saddens me that, like, this was, like, a perfect opportunity to give Cesar Cabral, like, a lot of time to play. And it's like, let's bring in Mike Zagurski.
Well, they haven't used
him. Like, we need that guy.
They haven't used him yet, at least, so.
I think they should bring in Zagurski to plunk a Red Sox player and then let him kill them with his body.
That man has no neck.
He is a big boy.
Or no chin. Like, I don't know which. I don't know if the chin just extended or the neck just stopped, you know, never stopped.
He has no head, it's just, like, part of his body.
He's a big boy.
But, yeah, the Yankees really need to take the game. You know, I feel we're saying that about every game, you know. The Yankees need to take this game. They really need to take every game. I mean, mm-hmm. But it's really good to beat the Orioles. Because,
one,
wild card race. But two, it's just really good to beat the Orioles.
And Camden Yards, too.
Yes.
If they win today, then they'll have also taken the season series from the Orioles, too. and prevented the Orioles from doing that for the first time in like 15 years or something.
Well, that's good. Small victories, I guess.
Is it bad that I was very comforted by Lyle Overbay getting that insurance run in that game last tonight? Because Mariano has been kind of up and down lately.
You know what the most troubling thing is about it, too? Is that he comes so close. He usually gets the first two outs and gets the third batter to get two strikes. And then he just doesn't get that call, or it's framed wrong by Chris Stewart because I like blaming him. And then it all goes to shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, I'm still confident that he'll get the job done. It's just a little bit more uneasy than I'm used to, which I guess is like, you know, years of being spoiled by Mariano Rivera, but still.
The funny thing is, this is Mo coming down to earth after, what, 16, 17 years of ridiculous success and immortality?
Yep.
And again, David Robertson is our closer next year, which, you know, all signs point to yes. We have to get used to this because, I mean, we love David Robertson, but his name is Houdini for a reason.
He walks that goddamn tightrope.
Maybe Mo's doing this as a favor.
Maybe he's transitioning.
He's preparing us.
Exactly. Mo's like, this is what you have to get used to. I could pitch better, but I'm not going to because...
you have to learn a lesson.
You need to accept that this is your future without me and my cutter.
You do.
What accent is that?
I don't know.
My cutter. Apparently he's South African.
Mariano is Nelson Mandela.
This has been a funny podcast.
Something like that.
It's been something.
But yeah, so... You know, curious, do we have Mo for tomorrow night?
Maybe.
Because he's pitched the last, what, two games? He's pitched the last two games in a row, right?
Yeah, and he got four outs on Tuesday.
Yeah, so we might not have him for tonight.
Might be,
Which might mean David Robertson might be closing for us. Or...
Maybe,
you know,
Jabba will close.
Yeah, there's that.
Why would you say that? Might...
Because it's true, and I'm just preparing you for the eventuality of what we're facing.
The offense could do us a solid and, you know, score 12 runs.
They could, but they're not gonna.
It'd be nice.
They only save that for when their starting pitcher gets blown off like it did in the first three games of the Boston series.
Let's not bring that series up, shall we?
Those games hurt my soul.
Yeah. They need to not play like that this weekend against the Red Sox.
Thankfully, I avoided a good portion of those because, oh my god.
They were painful.
So, well, we're facing them again this weekend, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They got Kuroda versus Lackey, CC versus Lester, and Nova against Buchholz.
Well, we have the pitchers we want going, at least.
Yeah.
We don't have to worry about can... I guess that's the one good thing about Hughes potentially starting tomorrow, is that he's not facing the Red Sox, nor is David Huff. So, there you go.
Do not want that in Fenway. Do not.
Small victories. Yeah. Is that our last series against the Red Sox this year?
Yes. Then after that, it's Blue Jays, Giants, Rays, Astros.
It would be really nice if the Yankees could take the series against Boston.
Yeah, even just two out of three would be... I would take that in a heartbeat.
I would, too.
Yeah. And then just ride the series.
A sweep would be pretty devastating.
Yeah. Yes, it would.
Yeah. I mean, even though that we'd be playing, even though the Yankees would be playing the Blue Jays, Giants, and Astros for most of the rest of the season, that'd still be a tough one to swallow. Hopefully, it doesn't go that way.
You know, just to point this out, there is a downside to this, too.
What?
You know, we are playing the Giants, Astros, and Blue Jays, but can you imagine the fan reaction if they lose to them? It won't be pretty.
Well, I mean, kind of rightfully so. Those are games that they should be able to win.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants are real bad.
They can't afford to lose another series to the likes of the Blue Jays.
No, that would be crippling.
That would be basically season ending. It's like the White Sox series all over again.
Can we not bring up that series?
I guess now that they're so close, like all those things are just so much more painful than they were even at the time. It's just like, they just lost a series to the Blue Jays. They were swept by the freaking White Sox. They were swept by the freaking Mets. Where could they be right now if just those three things hadn't happened?
Or if Mariano Rivera didn't decide to just die.
No, yeah, come down to earth.
I mean, last weekend was such a perfect opportunity because the Rays were losing and the Yankees were in such a good position to be tied with them, if not, you know, right there with them. And
if not for Mo, God damn it.
Again, it's Chris Stewart's fault. He needs to
fire him. Get rid of him.
Mo?
Yeah.
Well, he's retiring, so he's doing us all a favor. I don't know.
We're entering some weird territory here, so.
I'm really going to miss Mo. I don't care.
I'm really going to miss Jim Miller.
Who?
The mop. They cut to get Brendan Ryan on the roster.
Is that who he was, a mop?
Yeah.
Yeah, he had appeared.
He was a physical mop.
You know, I'd believe that. A mop named Jim Miller? Yeah.
Sounds like a tragic love story.
He pitched in that one game.
Yeah, and he got destroyed.
Nobody noticed.
The one was
nobody
tough,
remembered.
Right?
Yeah.
But the funny thing about that is, like, I feel like they didn't need to do that because they could have just put Jeter on the 60. So I feel like it's like, let's get rid of Jim Miller because we hate him.
You and your logic.
Because F that guy.
Maybe they didn't do that in case they need to, like, transfer him to the 60 to, like, put, I don't know, like...
Bring back Euclid.
To put, like, Murphy on the playoff roster if Romine has to miss a lot of time due to that concussion, because that's serious shit.
No, Euclid.
Concussions are pansy injuries when you really think about it.
Yeah, I mean, brain damage is for suckers.
Suckers, exactly.
Suckers.
And weaklings.
Tell that to the Twins.
You don't see football players complaining about concussions.
Derek Jeter would be out there with a concussion behind the plate.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be bombed
like a champion.
Mask.
I feel like we're going like NFL on these people. Like, oh, concussions.
I want concussions. It makes my enjoyment of the sport better.
ESPN, you need to stop researching concussions right now.
I'm gonna have to ask you to stop.
Except that's what happened.
Yeah.
Oh, NFL.
Tweet bag or any more topics?
I think we can go to the tweet bag.
I think we have exhausted the topics.
Then let's tweet bag it.
With the recent acquisition of Brendan Ryan, will he get more of the playing time than Nunez?
He should.
I mean, he started today.
Absolutely.
So probably. It might be like an even split. Because they might just like try to, if they want to keep Nunez's bat in the lineup, I don't know. And then, because it's better than Ryan. And
got to keep his bat in the lineup.
Okay, I'm...
Calm down, Jason's about to explode again.
But... if Nunez started a game, then they could just bring Ryan in as a defensive replacement later. But I think Ryan is going to get the lion's share of the starts, at least for the last 2 weeks. Because if the Yankees do make the playoffs, then they're not going to be able to use Ryan, so they're not going to want to start a rusty Nunez either.
How would you know the difference?
Just trying to find.
But seriously... Ryan has to start over Nunez at this point because, I mean, Nunez's bat is not good enough to warrant his crappy defense.
The Yankees can't give away games in the field, and every ball hit to Nunez is an adventure.
And not the good Indiana Jones kind of adventure.
No,
like the my stomach is sick adventure.
Exactly.
I hate those.
Yeah, they're fine.
No, trust me, no one hates those more than Greg Kirkland.
Okay, so that's that.
Next question.
If the Yankees could pick up one of the top couple of shortstop prospects in all of baseball in a trade, would you be willing to part with Gary Sanchez as part of that trade?
Yes.
How top are we talking?
Yeah, what? Who was the top shortstop?
I don't know. The top. I mean, whoever the top prospect shortstops are.
I don't think the Yankees could get one of them, like, in a deal with Sanchez. I mean, maybe Sanchez would be the centerpiece, but you'd also have to add, like, a couple of the other big Yankee prospects in there, because Sanchez's value isn't extremely high right now. I mean, he's still probably the best prospect.
There are only like maybe a handful of prospects in the system that I wouldn't want to trade. And by handful, I mean like maybe three.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Sanchez
is probably one of them, because the Yankees really don't have an answer at catcher unless you totally believe in J.R. Murphy.
But the Yankees don't have any answer at shortstop.
Right.
Like they don't even have Murphy insurance like they do at catcher.
Okay, but Sanchez alone isn't going to get a top shortstop prospect. So
no.
At that point, you're also dipping into the future at, you know, outfield or whatever.
I look at it this way. If Sanchez is as good offensively as they say, at that point, I would rather have a better offensive catcher than an offensive shortstop, because we lived with Posada for very long, you know, for a while, and, you know, he's not really the best defensive catcher. But, I mean, we're not getting another. I don't even think a top shortstop prospect is going to hit as well as Jeter did. Or does. We'll see how that goes. But it all depends on, I guess, how good Gary Sanchez is as a hitter.
My thing is also, I don't know if I would want to trade for a prospect.
Yeah.
Because I feel like...
Yeah. You run the same risk.
Yeah, you're selling a lottery ticket for a lottery ticket, and neither one is, you know, particularly more guaranteed to
be better
than the other.
I mean, I don't think there's like a Mike Trout or Jose Fernandez shortstop caliber prospect out there.
I think there are probably, you know, well-regarded ones, but, you know, I feel uneasy about trading for someone who is only a prospect.
Yeah.
Especially when, you know, we would need that person to work out or bust. So, you know.
And of course, like, any like, kind of shortstop that's in the majors that we'd be trying to target for that would cost more than just a few prospects.
Right. So it's definitely a difficult position to be in.
Yeah.
But if they traded like Gary Sanchez, Mason Williams, and something else for a shortstop prospect, and that shortstop prospect didn't pan out, I would be upset.
A shortstop prospect would have to be pretty close to the majors.
Yeah. Because
you're sacrificing a lot of, like, now I don't want to say like low minors talent, because they're like at least in Double A at this point, but you're sacrificing some talent that's not quite there to the big leagues for a talent that's pretty much big league ready. So you'd kind of hope that they would be able to fill in like ASAP, but if that didn't work out, then you're out a couple of good prospects. I mean, you don't know how Gary Sanchez or Mason Williams is going to turn out, but...
Yeah.
The outfield prospects, I'd trade them. Mm. And then getting someone valuable at, like, you know, shortstop, third base, something like that, I would trade them.
I think we all know who we wouldn't trade.
Greg Bird.
Greg Bird.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know if I'd say I wouldn't trade Greg Bird.
I mean, like,
Ooh. You're off the podcast.
The first base prospect in low A. I mean, I really like Greg Bird, but...
off.
I mean, if the Marlins want to give me Stanton and Fernandez for Greg Bird, I'm probably not going to say no.
It'd be nice. Okay. Fair cop. Just to throw this out there, Jose Fernandez is not fair.
No, he's really not.
He hits two.
Yeah.
Good lord.
I honestly thought that he was going to kind of fizzle out because, you know, he started off really well and then it seemed like he was starting to get hit a little bit and then all of a sudden it was just like, nah.
Shut down.
I think he got better.
If Kershaw wasn't in, like, God mode, he'd probably be the Cy Young winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially
much.
With Harvey getting hurt. Ugh,
but Kershaw is in God mode, so...
But he's only got, like, a 13, and like, he's got, like, a bad record, and...
You make a good
Craig
point.
Craig Kimbrell, like... affects way more games.
You're listening to way too many Braves announcers.
And I just, you know, like, I mean, yeah, Kershaw's got, like, a good ERA and, like, a lot of strikeouts, but, I mean, like, how valuable can you be when you've lost, like, almost 10 games? Not that valuable.
Are we done, Waffles?
And, like, that Mariano Rivera guy, like, if he had Craig Kimbrell's numbers, he would be in the MVP in the Cy Young discussion, but everybody hating on the Braves.
That is the best thing we've ever recorded on this podcast.
Go home, Braves announcers, you're drunk.
God. I just sat there with, like, my head in my hands, and I was just like, what is... And they were serious. That's the worst part. They were serious. Okay, anyway.
No, they're real terrible. I agree.
If you were put in charge of the Yankees for one day, but could fire only one person in the organization, who would it be?
Susan Waltham.
Randy Levine?
Al Steinbrenner?
All
right, done.
I would fire their strength and conditioning coach.
That's not a bad one.
No, I'm still sticking with Susan Waltham.
I don't blame.
Yeah, that's a good one. Don Sterling.
But think about not ever having to see Randy Levine's face again.
Think about actually be driving home, listening to a Yankee game.
I don't have
hearing.
To listen to them, so...
I do. Susan Waltham.
Problem. Will Derek Jeter have another bad injury-filled season next year?
I don't know.
Crystal ball.
I
mean, how can you predict that?
Well, if they take care of him, no. But if they do what they did this year and just like, well, it's Derek Jeter, he's got to start the year. Yes, it's going to happen.
I think he's going to battle more injuries than.
I don't know if it's going
to
be this bad.
No, I wouldn't expect it to be this bad, but I think that he will miss. His share of time next season, just because he will be kind of elderly. And...
little elderly.
Yep.
Guys, Derek Jeter's turning 40.
Yes, he is.
That's
sad.
I think he'll have at least one DL stint next year, if not two.
Can't wait for the narratives of what it's going to be like next season.
Oh, God, yes.
Can he do it? Michael Kay, oh my God.
Looking back, that home run he hit in, like, his second comeback, and how it was like, oh, now it's the beginning.
That was just a tease.
Yeah, I think we said that on the podcast, too, but, I mean, ugh, damn it, Jeter.
It felt good.
Did. It was only homer.
It was a glimpse of hope that was quickly fleeting.
Like pretty much most, that's pretty much the description of 2013. A glimpse of hope that has mostly been fleeting.
Much.
Who was your favorite player that you knew wasn't any good?
What?
Like the a bad player that you really liked, even though you knew that they were bad.
Like Michael. Like Michael Brown said, Shelly Duncan.
Shelly Duncan. Oh man, I like Shelly Duncan. I was on the Nunez bandwagon for a while. Then it was just like, wait, he sucks. For some reason, I liked Andy Phillips back in the day, even though he was not good.
It's true. I liked Bubba Crosby. It was silly.
I rooted for him.
He hit a walk-off homer. That was amazing. And I was like, oh, well, he kind of sucks. And, of course, Louis Soho is a classic example, too.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's probably going to be my
yeah.
answer.
Yeah. Louis Soho.
He had the, you know, the good sense to ask Coney why he didn't have a dance.
Yeah.
I liked Enrique Wilson, too, because he could hit Pedro Martinez, and that was about it. But then he kind of
sucked.
Gerardo
Williams?
Gerald Williams?
Gerald Williams, right. Why did I say Gerardo?
Gerald
Williams. I kind of liked him.
Derek Jeter's best friend.
Yeah. Danny Tartable.
Oh, God.
I don't know why. Maybe it's because he was on Seinfeld.
I was just going to say, he was on Seinfeld.
Yeah.
That's probably why. That's probably why you like him so.
All right, calm down.
I guess mine's probably Cervelli.
Oh.
Yeah, I could see that. I like Cervelli, too. Or liked. We broke my heart.
He died. He passed on.
Moved.
What's funny is originally I could have said Brett Gardner, but, I mean, he's really good. So.
John Flaherty disagrees.
John Flaherty knows talent when he sees it.
Sorry if Brett Gardner can't frame pitches like some sort of golden god.
You know who can? Chris Stewart.
Chris Stewart.
Should we do the Yankee and the Mitre?
I think we should.
The Yankee and the Jabba of the week?
No, it's still Mitre.
It's still Mitre?
Care. Yes, it is the Yankee and... It's kind of weak.
Do it again.
Let's try that again. Well, it's time for the Yankee and Mitre of the Week. Waffles, Yankee of the Week, go.
A-Rod.
All right, yeah. He likes to celebrate.
Dingers.
I liked
when, Andrew, your choice.
I liked when A-Rod went for the high five and no one was there.
high so five. A-Rod.
I'll catch you later.
I'll go with
so A-Rod.
Mr. Future Moneybags, Robinson Cano.
Oh, a legit choice.
That was my choice.
Nope. Well, who is your choice now, Jason?
Oh, God damn it. I'm the worst at this.
Want me to go first?
No. I'm going to go with Alfonso Soriano.
That's good.
All right. Mine is Brett Gardner, because he just continues to get on base.
Every week. It's yours every week.
I can't help it if he's so sexy. He gets on base. And you take all the good ones. I technically could have given it to Andy Pettit again because, you know, he did what he needed to do.
Or Mark Reynolds for hitting one to, like, crazy reaches of Camden Yards.
Oh, jeez. That was a bomb.
Yeah, that was pretty
silly. I want to add this. I think, so far, Mark Reynolds, I think the Yankees might need to re-sign him.
Probably.
Yeah, maybe.
I think
wouldn't be the worst move they do.
Would not be the worst move. I mean, they need a backup third baseman, and, like, David Adams and Eduardo Nunez is not going to cut it.
Nope.
Especially Eduardo Nunez.
Yeah.
Who I'm pretty sure drowns puppies. Sources confirm.
And he can play first base, so we got a backup first baseman there.
You know who can't play first base?
Lyle Overbay.
Eduardo Nunez.
Probably not. So I don't know if he's tried.
Would you trust him to?
No.
All right. Well, we all know who Jason's Mitre of the Week is, but Waffles, let's start with you.
Mine would be David Huff, because... all he had to do was be better than Hughes, and he was just like, no, thank
no.
you.
I'm not having that. Huff you.
So.
Huff you.
You can get on the Mitre train to Failureville.
Andrew, your choice for me trade of the week.
I'm going to go with Lord Preston. He's been pretty disappointing lately. And the Yankees really need bullpen help in the past week with Kelly, Logan, and Robertson all going down with various injuries, and Lord Preston just wasn't doing it.
Yeah, no kidding. Jason, me straight for the week?
I'm going to have to go with Eduardo Nunez, Greg.
Get out.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Unexpected.
I think he's the Mitre of the season.
Possibly the decade.
I thought we said Jabba was that last week.
Nah. Eduardo Nunez is the worst. Ever.
Jason brings rage for Eduardo Nunez like no other, and it's really funny.
He is the worst.
He has, like, similar rage for Nunez that I have for Steinbrenner face.
And I have for Mitre. He might be
Steinbrenner face.
He might be Jason's Mitre.
Oh, man, the Eduardo Nunez of the week.
I think he's getting to that point where we're all going to need our separate Mitre category. Mine is Mitre. Waffles is Steinbrenner face. Jason's Nunez. Who would yours be, Andrew?
Oh, man. I don't know. I guess we'd go with just Jabba by default. He has to be someone.
That's true. We all need a Jabba.
It'll be the Sergio Mitre, Eduardo Nunez, Jabba Chamberlain, Steinbrenner face Memorial Suck Award.
Memorial Suck Award.
If any of our listeners would like to draw that, you know, that'd be fantastic.
The Stein Suck Award.
The Stein Suck Award. You just suck.
Who is my Mitre of the week this week? I could always go for Chris Stewart. He's terrible.
Yeah, that's always a good one.
Yeah.
Ichiro's been pretty bad, too.
He has.
He needs to get added to the Memorial Award. God.
I don't hate Ichiro that much. I mean, it's the Yankees who are using him.
But yes, yes. Should. But he has, like, fooled everyone into thinking that he is not terrible. And it's like...
No,
he
I'm terrible.
Is terrible.
But again, like,
he's
I mean,
terrible
now that they have Granderson and Soriano back, there is really no need to be playing him.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
Oh, okay.
Sit,
but
bitch.
But when they weren't here, he provided much valuable defense and did keep us in afloat long enough.
No, he did hit, but then like.
Then he faltered with the
but
weather.
Then he sucked after the All-Star break.
See, I'm giving it to Chris Stewart because he couldn't get injured and give me J.R. Murphy's chance to start. So, screw you, Stewart.
He couldn't get injured like a normal guy.
Like everyone else on this freaking team. Somehow he avoids the... How is that possible?
Okay.
Chris Stewart, Mitre.
Preston didn't go Hughes for his relief appearance.
Ugh. Listen, we'll save Hughes's Mitre of the week for if he fails during the Orioles.
Wait, that happened this week?
Yeah.
The relief pass? Jeez.
But the thing is, though, I didn't expect Hughes to do well in relief because, again, when you can't throw, you know, the 0-2 strike, what good are you in relief or starting?
But velocity. It goes up.
You raised a good point, sir.
And science.
And then he's good. Right?
That's,
isn't that what was
that's analysis, happened? My friends.
Case closed.
Analysis.
The stuff is supposed to happen and he's just good, you know? You know that stuff?
Alright.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. That's what was supposed to happen. And it didn't. Because Phil Hughes... Terrible.
But please don't be terrible today, right. Hughes. Please don't be terrible today.
Please.
All right.
Anyway. All right, I think that's it for us tonight, right?
Except Michael Brown's home run call birthday thing.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So again, we're celebrating Michael Brown, our fellow Pinstripe Alley scribe's birthday today. And as always on the Pinstripe Alley podcast, we celebrate that in the only way we know how. With a John Sterling home run crawl. So swung on and driven deep to the right field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Oh, Brown turns that frown upside down. All right, that's all you get. So happy birthday, Michael Brown. And I will actually give credit for Waffles for thinking that one up.
I came up with a better one.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, mine was so much better.
All right, let's hear it, Jason.
You have to do it in the full Sterling, though.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Then I'm pretty sure it's not better. All
right.
Oh, man. Wow.
Andrew came up with, what can Brown do for you? But we determined that that was actually too clever for a Sterling home run call.
Yep.
Plus, it might infringe on UPS.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. They might get in trouble for that.
Don't sue us.
I kind of wonder if the Phillies broadcasters do that for Dom Brown, too. I don't know.
They don't.
They don't? Okay.
No.
Fools!
If you want to hear more endearing stories of Mike Zagurski's neck, you can follow us on @PinstripeBible. Again, that is D-less. You can also follow us on our other, probably soon to be more popular, Twitter handle, Yankees Gifts, which, again, does such a magnificent job with gifts from the game. Really, really spectacular. Good job, Matt F. Second. You can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Just search for Pinstripe Alley Podcast. And, as always, we love your tweet bag questions, so tweet us at the aforementioned Twitter handle or on the blog, where Andrew will always post a tweet bag topic for you to, you know, ask us your silly little questions. So, no, that's all, right? No more business to discuss?
That's all, folks.
All right. So, for Waffles, Andrew, and Jason, I'm Greg Kirkland. I'm giving you a raise, and I'm soon to be trapped in Mike Zagurski's neck. That's now the title of this, Mike Zagurski's neck girth.
Mike Zagurski might never appear in a game for the Yankees, and yet.
I don't think he will. I really don't think that he will actually appear in a single game.
Probably not.
His neck might.
His neck might.
Coming into pitch, Mike Zagurski's neck.
God.
It trots out. Throws some warm-up pitches.
It probably smells.
Oh, God.
What would its walk-up song be?
What's it smell like?
Break your neck.
Like a neck?
Oh, no. His walk-up song would be Wu-Tang Clan's Protect Your Neck.
There you go.
Or eat
my God.
My weirdo.
Oh, God.
We go to weird places on this podcast. Like, really weird.
You're a
little too weird.